contacting God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. Knowing God would be impossible if he didn't want to be known. There is nothing to prevent every stage of spirituality from being a delusion. The saint who speaks to God may be suffering from a lesion of the right temporal lobe. On the other hand, a convinced atheist may be shutting out messages from God every day. Our quantum model tells us three ways that God is already contacting us. He exists at a level of reality beyond the five senses. Since we are quantum creatures, we participate in God all the time without acknowledging it. He is sending us messages or clues into the physical world. He is attracting notice through second attention, the deepest intuitive part of our brains. These three ways to know God are based on the facts accumulated in our search so far. We've built the plane and we know the theory of flight. What remains is to take off. God seems to be sending us messages from outside time and space. Some of these are very dramatic. One of the most recent healings at Lourdes happened to a young Irishman afflicted with multiple sclerosis. He arrived late after the holy waters were closed. Disappointed, he was taken back to his hotel in a wheelchair. Sitting alone in his room, he suddenly felt a change. A bolt of light shot up his spine. He lost consciousness. But when he awoke, all signs of his MS had vanished. He returned home healed. I think there is no doubt, given the thousands of people who have had such experiences, that this is the light of God, revered in every sacred tradition. God enters our world in few other ways that are as tangible. In research polls, up to half of Americans say that they have experienced some form of light that they couldn't explain, either internally or as an external aura or halo. About a third of Americans say that they are born again, which we can interpret as a spiritual awakening of some kind. A form of supra-consciousness, as the Indian saint Sri Aurobindo termed it, is gradually descending upon us, beginning with the higher centers of awareness, those that cause us to intuit God's existence, making its way down until our very cells are transformed. To get back to the source of God's messages, we would have to use second attention, our ability to know something without any physical information. Intuition and prophecy involve second attention, so does the saint's insight into God. By seeking to know God, we run into the same problem we do when we seek to know what lies outside the universe. Without ever seeing into this other world, we can observe black holes and quasars, which are the nearest thing to windows on the edge of infinity. As light and energy get sucked into a black hole, they disappear from our cosmos. This implies that they are going somewhere. Therefore, they might also return to us via white holes or acts of creation like the Big Bang. God is not this knowable, however. The great fascination of near-death experiences is that people return convinced that they have entered the divine presence. But near-death experiences can be duplicated artificially through oxygen deprivation to the brain. In these cases, the same white light often appears, so perhaps it is just an artifact of the cerebrum as it begins to suffocate. We need better proof. To know God personally, you must penetrate a boundary that physicists call the event horizon, a line that divides reality sharply in half. On this side lies anything that remains within the speed of light. On the other side is anything faster than the speed of light. The speed of light is absolute. It is like a wall that no object can crash through. As we approach the wall, time slows down, mass increases, and space becomes curved. If you try to crash through, weird things happen to prevent you from doing so. For example, any light that passes too near a black hole gets pulled into its field of gravity. Black holes are the remnants of old stars that collapsed onto themselves. In some instances, the momentum is irreversible, and even light cannot escape from the star's force field. In that case, there is only blackness. If a photon of light tries to go around a black hole, it will start to curve in the hole's direction until it falls in. To an outside observer, the photon falls into the black hole forever, frozen in time. Inside the black hole, however, the photon has already been devoured. Both versions are true. One is seen from the world of light, the other from the world beyond light. This borderline of uncertainty is the event horizon, the margin dividing reality between the certain and the uncertain, the known and the unknown. Any place where knowledge stops, there is also an event horizon. The brain can't explore beyond where photons go. What lies beyond the event horizon? It could be a new universe with intelligent life in it, or it could be a chaos of squashed dimensions. Quantum physics dips across the border all the time, only it can't stay there very long. When a particle accelerator bombards two atoms, causing a subatomic particle to jump out of its hiding place for a few millionths of a second, the event horizon has been crossed. Science inched its way toward nuclear power, transistors, and if we look into the future, advanced computer memory and time travel. Already, a beam of light has been made to move from one location to another in a Caltech laboratory without crossing the space in between, which is a form of primitive time travel. What we do know is that God can't be on this side of the event horizon. Since the Big Bang, light has been traveling for about 10 to 15 billion years. Strangely enough, certain faraway objects appear to be emitting radiation that is older than the universe, a fact cosmologists are unable to comprehend. If the human brain contains its own event horizon, the limit of photons to organize themselves as thought, and so does the cosmos, we must cross over to find the home of spirit.